comedian Tim Young says America doesn't suck. How's he going to prove it? Find out on this Crummy Little Podcast.
Tim Young is the host of the upcoming web series America Doesn't Suck. He's also a comedian with a conservative political view who's appeared in theaters, comedy clubs, and colleges nationwide. Tim Young, thanks for joining this Crummy Little Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not too much. So, Tim, tell me about America Doesn't Suck.
All right, so I'm just, as a political comic, you can only take so much negativity. I'm going to sound like such a hippie here, by the way. And I realized this when I was coming up with the idea. You can only take so much negativity during the presidential campaign. I mean, everybody on the right has been infighting. Everybody on the left is infighting, too. You just don't hear about it. And in order for a candidate, I've realized, to get elected, it's the money is in the chase. So everybody's always going to say everything is negative, everything is bad, we need to make America better. I wanted to take time and go out and just see some cool stuff and show something positive and like that there's awesome stuff going on in the country. So that's the whole concept of America Doesn't Suck, because America doesn't suck. I mean, you take a look at everything that's going on as far as political uprisings in the Middle East. They blow everybody up and they fight with each other. Literally, here it's just down to actual ballots and just a lot of nasty rhetoric. So I want to kind of keep things – I want to be the guy that's like in the middle of all of the negative news, showing something that's fun and cool about America.
Like a salmon swimming upstream. Now, this this series is going to be you going coast to coast – and like you said, telling stories that are from the positive side of what's going on here in the country, right?
Yeah, and absolutely cool stuff. I mean, like, it's people that are living the American dream as, like, what that American dream is to them. Because everybody's American dream is different to what they are. It's not always a white picket fence. In fact, if it's a white picket fence, I feel bad for people. So I'm starting off in Myrtle Beach with a guy, Marvin Latimer. He was on Big Brother, and now he has this like cult hit urban cooking show, which is the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's called The Marvin Show, and it's on weekly, I believe, on their ABC affiliate down there, where he does like urban cooking and gets drunk on a cooking show. And that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I was playing around on YouTube and ran into it. A couple of friends told me about it that live in South Carolina. So we're filming with him first. I'm doing the cooking show with him. And then we're going on to a couple of other really, really cool stuff, cool things throughout the country. Like in Atlanta, we're going in and stopping in with King of Pops, the artisan popsicle place that's gone crazy down in the southeast. I mean, I get to go make popsicles with the CEO of King of Pops. Then on to just like lots of cool stuff. We're stopping in Casa Bonita in Denver. I'm going to be mirroring a morning show reporter in Albuquerque. Which is probably going to be the most painful thing because I have to get up at like, I think 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or something like that to follow her around. And just really, really cool stuff. And fun, lighthearted. In Baton Rouge right now, we're working out the finals on going to the guy. He runs a Froyo shop. By the way, my three favorite foods in the world are nachos, popcorn, and Froyo. And that's important because that's like the I want to make sure I get as much of that on this as possible, on this trip as possible. So we stop in at a place called Yogurt Bayou, which is a Froyo place, but it's a front for this guy's business. He sells all of the frozen daiquiri machines into New Orleans. So like all of them. And he sets everything up. Instead of alcohol, it's Froyo up in Baton Rouge. So it's just really, really cool, fun stories throughout the country.
Wait, so he's at the front of the store, he's selling Froyo. At the back of the store, he's selling frozen daiquiri machines. This sounds like something from Prohibition era.
It really does. Actually, it's the same machines, apparently. Other than like the dispenser being a little bit different, it's the exact same machine. So he brings in all of the new equipment, throws Froyo in it, and then brings in his clients and talks about it. I think that's the cool – like when I found that out from a friend of mine when we were looking to book the show, I kind of like giggled to myself. I mean, that's what a great gig. So you're making Froyo at one side of your business, and the other side is like basically providing most of the pregnancies in New Orleans. So like you can't go wrong. That is the American dream. If that's not the American dream, I don't know what is. And those machines cost like $50,000 a piece or some crazy number. So
it sounds like you'd have Sheriff Buford T. Justice or something sniffing around, not believing that it's a Froyo place, constantly sampling the product.
Right?
Like, I'll get you.
Like, it's the craziest. I had never heard of anything like that before. And that's the kind of stuff we're, like, uncovering. And then, like, in the end, I'm going to end up also, there's a guy named Bo James. He runs Southern States Wrestling, which I was actually a sponsor of years ago. But one day these commercials will go out. I used to do these commercials since the beginning. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done. Actually, one of the funniest things I've ever done. But he runs this wrestling promotion, independent wrestling promotion that's been going for like almost 30 years in Kingsport, Tennessee. And he's going to be wrestling in Chattanooga. So he's going to teach me how to cut a promo, a wrestling promo. And we're going to talk about the history of his pro wrestling thing. He's never worked another job outside of pro wrestling in his entire life, and he's like 40. So
it's like a regional pro wrestling circuit, or
yeah, and it's an interesting one. I don't. It's definitely not WWE. It's old school headlocks, body slams, and Confederate flags. I think is the. And I just wanted to go and like, this guy is such a great guy. We've become actually good friends because I paid like nickels to sponsor this thing, and it's on in every cable access channel. It's on, what is it, like 22 cable access channels or something like that. So like this guy, the Southern States Wrestling is everywhere in the Southern States, and they've had everybody who was big basically in the 80s and early 90s wrestle down there, except for like, you know, like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, those guys. But like everybody has been through their promotion, and Bo has run it for a majority of that time. So it's kind of cool.
I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I know enough about it to know that those old regional networks of wrestlers, some of the most fascinating stories of quasi showbiz come out of that. That I cannot wait to tune into that one.
That, I'm so excited. You have no idea how excited I am, and I have to bend over backwards to like get. So we're meeting him in Chattanooga. Hopefully if it's open at a restaurant called Bees, which is, all you can eat fried chicken and catfish and whatever. And they put them on, Lazy Susan's. It's this kind of like, it's an interesting Southern looking place. Kind of looks like a VFW hall that they have Lazy Susan tables, and they put pounds and pounds of food on the middle and you just spin it around and eat it. And Bo's not a tiny guy.
I would think not if he's eating at places like that.
So I'm hoping that they're going to be open, that we can do that. I don't think that they are because of course they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. Who would have customers on Mondays and Tuesdays at an all you can eat fried chicken place?
those sound like recovery days.
They really are.
After the weekend, you may need a couple of days. It might be best that you don't come over to Bees.
Yeah. So like I'm at least going to get that. I really want to talk to him there. If we were doing it in Kingsport, he always hangs out at a place called, I don't know if you've done a lot of time in the South, but Perkins, which is, I guess, the Denny's of the South. I've only recently discovered Perkins in the past.
Like a chain restaurant?
It is.
I mean, Perkins goes up to, I used to eat at Perkins a lot when I lived in northeastern Pennsylvania. I always knew it was northeastern PA and New York. I didn't know it was that big in the South.
Well, my problem is that I grew up in Baltimore, so I don't know anything about your country, and that is country, where your northeast Pennsylvania's country. But like it's so I discovered Perkins, and that is apparently his home office, because I talked to the manager when I first met him. We had about a 3-hour hangout, and I talked to the manager at Perkins. He's like, yeah, Bo basically sets up his office here in the corner. I'm like, that is amazing. We have coffee shops here. They've got Perkins in Kingsport, Tennessee.
So you've got these positive stories coming from across the country. I was going to ask, you know, you're filming these in, you know, Myrtle Beach, Birmingham, Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Baton Rouge. You mentioned Kingsport, Tennessee, Lexington, Kentucky, Denver, Austin. Now, some of those are pretty cool towns, but some of those do not scream America doesn't suck from the times that I've been through. So you're not really cherry picking exotic locales here.
No, I want real stuff. I want fun stuff. A few years ago, I went on a tour / I always say it's vacation, but I always work. 5 weeks I drove the country, and I went everywhere. I mean, except for the Northeast. That's a lie. So I went everywhere but the Northeast, and just took two huge circles around and started to really fall in love with the country. I mean, when you go and see the stuff, it's just incredible the different culture that we have in this country and how people are making it. When I think American Dream, when I think fun stuff, cool stuff, it's not big city New York flashy. It's people who have done something in the scenario that they're in, people who have made something cool and unique to their region. And that's what I wanted to do, especially with these stories. Like, it's one thing, my stretch here that I think everyone's familiar with is Casa Bonita in Denver. But other than that, a lot of stuff people are not familiar with that I'm going to be talking about. And just bringing up and digging up really, really fun stories that I've learned about on the road, or I've learned about through friends who are like, you went to X? Why didn't you stop by this? Marvin show is probably the biggest example of that. I mean, the guy is viewed by hundreds of thousands of people, I think, every week in South Carolina, mainly college students who are drunk late at night. And he's got the craziest show. I mean, the guy literally gets loaded and then just cooks up ridiculous seafood, like deep fries everything. And it's that's awesome. And that's a regional thing that just may, I kind of think it's Food Network worthy, but like, if Food Network is like Housewives, they probably wouldn't dig it that much. But like stuff like that, like it isn't the best. Like, I mean, they're not like these like glamorous areas. It's just America. You know, and we're gritty and we're not clean and fancy. And I think that's, it's an authentic, there's more of an authentic thing to that than, you know, going just to big cities and looking for big stuff.
Now you're about to kick off on this tour, this endeavor, right? You leave later this week.
Yeah. 2 days. I leave on Thursday morning and, immediately start a ridiculously grueling filming schedule, which is, I'm shaking my head at it myself. And I have to somehow learn how to mount cameras in my car immediately, in my rental car when I'm getting on the road here. But we leave Thursday. So I start filming. I do a couple of segments today in D.C. Then we're going to Myrtle Beach's first. That's why I've been talking a lot about it. 6.5-hour drive, film for 3 hours. Take a nap, get back on the road the next day. I believe it's another 6.5 hours to Atlanta. Film for 3 hours. Take a break for a day, then I head to Birmingham, which is only about 2 hours from there, which is an easy one, and then film for 3 hours. So it's pretty grueling. I mean, it's 10 cities in 21 days.
Yikes. And incidentally, based on your favorite foods, I hope you bought a big rental car, because I can imagine that you're probably going to be like piano crate size by the end of this, because it sounds like some pretty delicious stuff that you're going to be eating on the way.
Well, there are tricks to it. And so when I did the 5 weeks on the road, I ate apples and almonds in between everything. So if you're just on apples and almonds and iced coffee, which is my other favorite, and there's going to be a donation spot on my – somebody came up with this the other day when we were sitting around talking. If you want to donate an iced coffee, you can donate $3 or $4 or something on my page, America Doesn't Suck. It's a lot of – I'm very, very cautious. And no drinking is the other thing, too. I'm always, always afraid of driving in the South. You know, you never drink and drive anyway, but just driving in the South with any kind of alcohol, I don't want to deal with police down there or anything like that. I don't want to have any kind of issues while I'm on the road. I've had a lot of horror stories from people who have been pulled over by state troopers in the South. I don't know if you've done a lot of time in the South, Jim, but – it's pretty scary when it gets into the law enforcement down there. So
yeah, I was going to say, you don't want someone stepping up to your car with mirrored sunglasses and hearing a northern accent. That's why I haven't done a lot of time in the South, by the way.
that is exactly what it is. And I have my I'm a Texan. I've got my Austin license, which is even worse, I think, because everybody's like, oh, you're a hippie. You know, I'm going to tear your car apart for the drugs, and I've never touched anything in my life. So like, it's like. It's a scary proposition, but and I'm on a very, very tight schedule, so speed limits and nothing too fun. I'll be eating a lot, but just being very, very cautious with how much and where.
That's that's probably wise and careful. And as you're at the beginning of this, if this sounds, because I'm in, I'm sold. When do you think we'll start seeing some episodes online? When can we start anticipating seeing this stuff come out, seeing some of these stories?
Probably earlier, but it's safe to say mid-April is going to be the latest that you're going to see. It looks like we're going to do all the filming for 21 days, and then we're going to edit and bring them out. So
that's pretty cool. So by the end of April, we're going to be hopefully seeing the fruits of your labor.
Why America Doesn't Suck, man. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, as someone who's a comic, as someone who has to be funny first and then maybe political second, looking at the modern comedy landscape where really sarcasm and kind of biting edginess is the coin of the realm, do you find it difficult to keep your positivity and still have an edge?
I just recently came to grips with the fact that I'm a positive person. I don't like being positive. I'm a grump. Jim, you and I haven't spent too much time together, but I'm a young curmudgeon. There is very little that I enjoy, but I like people. That's the one thing I do like. But there's, man, as far as keeping an edge and being kind of grumpy, and I've been able to maintain an appropriate level of grump throughout my life, and I think that's what's made things extra entertaining. Is I don't think a lot of people expect that kind of meh from me when I get on stage. But there is, I don't know how to really describe, I should be able to describe my character a little bit better, but like my character on stage is kind of like, we're here, let's get this over with. I'm going to tell you some smart stuff that I assume that you're smart enough to get. And that's what's kind of stopped me from a lot of comedy clubs. I stopped doing comedy clubs a couple of years ago. I might do a couple on the road here just to practice, but I did a comedy show. My last comedy show that I did was in Dallas, and I was I opening? I forget what position I was in, but I was before a little person who did 90 minutes of midget jokes about himself, and God bless him. It works. He's got a great act. But me getting up and telling intelligent political humor in front of a crowd that's there to see a guy end his set with what he calls a midget lap dance for 5 minutes is not ideal.
Yeah, mixed audiences there a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I'm talking about the news, and people are like, what about the news? We got a midget coming on, and he's going to do some shaking of his ass. And it's like, okay, well, this is not good for me. So yeah, that was probably my last. That was my last comedy club gig, and then I started doing a lot of corporate and a lot of colleges and theaters and right wingy stuff. But you know, I have a lot of I've lost where the question is because I start talking about myself and I go. But you know, it's I keep the character appropriate and people laugh. I just did the I hosted the Congress versus Press spelling bee at the National Press Club. And that was all liberals, and I made fun of them to their faces, and they laughed. So that's pretty positive.
I've got to think that seeing adults try to spell makes it difficult to keep your positivity.
So how it worked was I did the opening, and then it was actually run by the Scripps Howard guy, who does the National Spelling Bees with the kids. And I was up in a balcony watching, drinking and hating my life, watching people spell for like 5 hours or however. It just kept going. And in fact, so it was like five reporters. It was an elimination tournament, and it was five reporters left against one congressman. And I forget who it was, but all of a sudden the reporters started to tank, and, it went down to 1-on-1. He eliminated all the reporters and ended up winning, this congressman, which was crazy and fun to watch to a point, but it went on forever. So, and also the highlight of that was when they asked one of the whitest white person on stage to spell chitlins. And I like howled. Like, actually, people looked up at the at the balcony area, because I was like screaming, like, what is right about this right now? You just, it was the most amazing thing.
So this week off you go to film America Doesn't Suck. Oh, hey, I should ask, when the episodes start going up, where can people find them?
AmericaDoesn'tSuck.com, and it looks like we're going to have a media partner. I can't officially say yet, but I have a call right after this. There are three different outlets that want this, and I believe I'm going to have an agreement within the day or two, for them to promote it. So, But AmericaDoesn'tSuck.com, it's also probably, if you're on a conservative or a right-wing email list, odds are this is going to be pushed out to you. I have a lot of folks that are going to be promoting this as well. So you basically don't have to leave your computer. You're going to see this get pushed around. I know there's at least one email list that has about 2 million folks on it that this is going to get pushed to. So,
well, very cool. That's conservative comedian Tim Young. You can find more about America Doesn't Suck at AmericaDoesn'tSuck.com, as Tim just mentioned. You can find more about Tim Young at TimYoung.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at TimRunsHisMouth. Tim, thank you very much for joining this crummy little podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Thanks for listening to this crummy little podcast. If you want to hear more, check out www.crummylittlepodcast.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes, and don't forget to leave a review. Thanks again.